Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here this week with Ben, and alongside me I have Eddie.
Hello!
And Kirk.
Hello!
Whoa.
That was big, Kirk. And for the first time since our... Kirk, come on, it's a family show. For the first time since our Game of the Year episode, we have Deadbeat Punk, a.k.a. Christopher Love, a.k.a. host of What the Fuck Do You Want podcast.
Hello, and Akka!
Akka!
He's back, baby.
Akka!
So it's good to have you back. Yeah. I mean,
it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you for the invite.
Few months now, and Kirk's got an episode with you coming up next week on your podcast, isn't he?
Indeed, it'll be round by the Monday.
Oh, lovely. And ours comes out next Wednesday, so that's great pollinization, isn't it? Great cross-pollinization there.
Oh, so, yes, the synergy. It's just dripping with enthusiasm, like the show itself.
I'm absolutely not sure.
Well, you need to explain to people, Ben, but cool.
How do days work?
That's how you grow podcasts. That's how you grow podcasts, Kirk. I'm just letting and just there pulling back the curtain there so people have a little,
little peek in. See what we get up to.
Anyway, it's the usual running order: news, new releases, what we've been playing, and our feature this week will be going through some Game Pass games that we're picking out for everyone, hidden gems, and just ones that we think look great, because Game Pass is going to do stellar things this year, and before all the big games come out, maybe it's time to play some of the other ones and get your money's worth. So we'll be going into that one. But first of all, we'll kick off with the quick news. This first one, I don't really understand. I read it, I wrote it down, but Konami have said that eFootball 23, that really crap football game, has had over 600 million downloads on console, PC, and mobile.
Brilliant.
It's the most successful game of all time, is it?
600 million. I can only assume that 599 million of those were on mobile.
Sure.
Maybe they're including like the demo. I don't know.
This gets updated every year. It's the same game.
So are they counting eFootball 22? I suppose it's just
yeah. That's the way I'm taking it. When did this start? Yeah, 2022
maybe. Okay. Well, even with that, I mean, those downloads are
It's a free download. You download it, play it for 5 minutes, go, whoa, this is shite.
Deleted. I did exactly
you
that.
You might even download it again the next year. So, you know, it might only be 300 million people, but they did it twice.
That is true. I did download it originally, but surely it looks like they've added a zero at the end there. 600 million.
Look, there's ways you can pump your numbers. You know, I do it for my show with bots. Konami aren't above that.
Of course you do.
Konami would not be above that, so yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we'll move on from that one. Rumors are abound, and I'm not even sure if it might have even been confirmed now, that there's a first-person mode coming to the new season of Fortnite, which I believe comes out in a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty...
completely change it up, isn't it?
That's pretty cool. I mean, I think a lot of people are put off by the third-person viewpoint. I think it even diminishes it from like even being cartoony. But
I think the main appeal to Fallout and the sad people that play it is
Fallout.
I fucking love Fallout. I'm one of those sad people.
And you just insulted a number of
insane amount of people. Yeah. Probably the largest community. The saddest community. Double down. Is the whole I've got this skin. It's where they earn all their money, isn't it? By the way they look, you know, that they can get new releases of celebrities and stuff. So I'm really, really surprised by this, because I thought their whole marketing strategy was, look, I can look like a different twat for a week.
Can still see people, but also, Eddie,
you can be the whole premise of the thing is, I look like a sad twat and I want people to know that I'm a sad twat.
Yeah, but Eddie, you also...
Fuck you, Eddie. I'm Goku.
It's a bit different on Fortnite, but you do have a battle pass on Warzone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can get different skins on there, can't you?
And I will find... I know, Kirk, you try and find the most handsome man on there, but I try and find the guy that's going to get me the most wins.
Kirk and I double down on handsomeness, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, at least with Kirk, he's kind of looks like Kirk, while Ben, you just... That's ridiculous.
What?
If there was a fat, bald guy, you should be him.
Your character has hair, which is not representative of you at all in the slightest.
Yeah, but so. He is equally as handsome as me, okay, so sure. I think he
and tanned. Yeah, he's tanned as well. He's very tanned.
To be fair, Kirk yeah. looks like if Kirk if Kirk's character
if Kirk
in Warzone
was better looking, yeah. If, got, if Kirk was better looking, then he'd look like his.
If he was infinitely better looking, it would actually look a lot like his character, wouldn't it?
Yeah, fantastic.
So I just need to get
you
past
know
the surgery.
Majority of your audience don't know what you look like.
That's not true.
Come on.
Your cartoon avatars are lies.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I got Eddie down to a T with
that
one.
Yeah, that was the worst fucking avatar I've ever seen.
Fake little beard and everything.
Yeah,
what tickled my interest in this was first-person view. Would they try to convert it over to VR? Because, you know, I believe some people are interested in that recently.
That'd be a very good show.
I think that would be... I think of all the games out there, and... with a lot of success with the games like Gran Turismo, things like that, like mainstream games that have already released, putting a VR mode out, No Man's Sky, etc. Fortnite, you know, so much money behind them. They're
the only thing is,
that,
Tim Sweeney said that they had no interest in doing a VR mode, but that's no interest is PR speak for maybe.
We're working on it.
Yeah, because they're probably trying to make it work. I mean, the problem with it is that a shooter would be...
Well, if you were doing VR, you could
inducing,
only
wouldn't it?
Play other VR players.
VR
you'd imagine
people,
it'd be a different mode.
A smaller mode.
If they looked into this, I wouldn't even be mad because with the amount of money and the amount of people behind it, I think it could do wonders for VR. Do you know?
No,
like, just the
industry. Eddie, I think you're right. Like VR needs something. Almost everyone can get into it across all platforms.
Are you telling us that VR is going to be saved by Fortnite?
I know, and that will make me sick, though. That would.
And Minecraft.
Oh, that's fine. Fucking love Minecraft.
Your lovely little child game that you love.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It's not sad when Eddie's playing it.
No,
it's
definitely not.
Right, let's move on. Yeah. Metro Prime Remastered was the number 2 in the UK box sales charts last week, right behind Hogwarts Legacy. Nice. So the box version of Metro Prime Remastered came out last week. It's been out for weeks before that, which makes this even more impressive, because a lot of us would have got it digitally like I did because of the FOMO, etc. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty good that it came out as number 2.
Mm. Yep, helps me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was quite impressive too, because I think it was quite a limited press. It was very rare over in America. I don't think we were as bad over in UK land.
I know people were getting it late as well because of the short supply. So, yeah, it's. I think it's very impressive. It also does... I mean, it's giving them a message, isn't it? I mean, Metroid Prime 4 is obviously coming out, and they are pushing the Metroid stuff now. I'm hopeful of an announcement towards the end of this year for Metroid Prime 4 and something towards the start of next year.
Do you think we see 2 and 3 ported before we see 4?
Well, I think the... how this is sold, also the fact that they surely have been working on them. They surely have been looking at them.
Well, the rumor was the trilogy was coming.
Yeah, that was the rumor. That was the rumor for years. And so, and maybe they've split them. But the thing is, they did such a good job with this game.
Yeah.
The amount of effort that they've put in is actually quite a lot. It's either they've had them in the works or they haven't. I don't think they'd start them from afresh now. Yeah. I think they've either been doing it or not. So
plus, it shows the 3D Metroids are a lot more popular than 2D because Dread sold well, but it didn't sell fantastically.
I can't remember how it appeared in the charts. I would have assumed it would have been top 1 or 2 in the charts regardless, because you don't need to sell that many to get it towards those top couple, do you? I mean, because if you look at that, the list of the top 10, there's like FIFA, there's COD, and there's Grand Theft Auto and stuff. You don't need to. They're selling consistently, but you can get up there with some decent sales. But yeah, Dread sold about three million. 3 million, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which first party Nintendo isn't great numbers.
It's not great numbers, is it?
Fantastic game.
But I think fantastic game, and I think Metro Prime 4 will do significant numbers.
Yeah,
so,
I think
yeah,
there's definitely more desire for the 3D games.
Yeah, I think so too. Another quick news story following on for this one would be the Metro Fusion is being added to Nintendo Switch Online next week. So that's one of the 2D games, one of the better 2D game, supposedly. Mm-hmm. I've never played it, but that is being added. So, yeah, a lot of Metroid Prime and a Metroid kind of buzz in general. They're really trying to big this thing up. I definitely would anticipate some kind of announcement, and either to say 2 or 3 being remastered, or for Metroid Prime 4 to finally get unveiled properly. But
even a trailer, something more than the logo.
Yes, just something more than the logo. Yeah, exactly. But one game which we thought had been left behind, but probably hasn't, Halo Infinite. So the Forge mode, they said this week that over 1 million creations had been made in the Forge mode. I still haven't checked out Forge.
No. I haven't even gone back for the co-op campaign yet.
No, mm-hmm. No. And Kirk and I were thinking about doing that ages ago, and we'd never... It's just not come around for it, but it's a real shame. I still watch it on Twitch sometimes when there's the weekly kind of pro competition, but that's about it. From the 5th of March, the Meta Quest 2 56GB model is getting a $70 price reduction, and the Meta Quest Pro is getting a $500 reduction. So now they're $430 and $1,000 respectively. Obviously, they're probably doing this because of the PSVR 2 coming out, and the Quest 3 will be coming out at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to make the Quest 2 competitive at this point, because the PSVR 2 has come out and got very good reviews, and is supposedly a very good piece of kit. Mm-hmm. Just maybe doesn't have all the games in the world, but it's pretty good that this is getting a price reduction. But bear in mind that it did get a $100 price increase about a year ago or something, didn't
Brilliant.
It?
Brilliant.
Well, so, it was only in October, wasn't it?
Was it October? Was it? Yeah, so they put it up, put it down.
So, I've never known a company to raise their prices and then reduce them like that. Like, it comes out at like a base level, and then they usually reduce or pull up, but then, give it 6 months.
Big chunk off the Pro helmet.
Was this all for optics? But yeah, that Pro, MetaQuest Pro there, and I don't know the specs of the Pro compared to what the Quest 3 will be. But that's a huge reduction.
Yeah, big time.
It probably costs some pennies to make now, though, doesn't it?
Have you used the Pro before, Punk?
No, I have not. I was going to jump on the Quest 2, but I think I'm the same as everybody else. I'll wait for the Quest 3, see what it brings to the table.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I would be, if I had spare pounds kicking about and burning a hole, I would be interested probably in the PSVR 2 if it had one or two more things.
Well, if I was going to go for one, it would be PC based, because it'll always be supported.
Yeah,
PSVR relies on Sony and, you know, Vita.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a fair shout.
Yeah. Next up, Warframe is getting an expansion in April. I hear it's fairly sizable, so if you're a person who loved Warframe in the past or still do, then yes, something big is coming in April. Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon on the Wii U have been closed down online for maintenance due to security issues, and it could take them a while to get back
sake.
Up.
Why?
Oh, so all those people that have been dying for a game on the original Splatoon, but also, if you haven't got your Wii U out in a while, supposedly they are coming out of error codes and things like that. I think they're in a bit of a state, actually. I think a few things have gone peak tong on the old Wii U. So
just imagine that you've left your console in the cupboard for like a couple of years, and you're like, oh, I fancy playing that game. You turn it on, error.
Or you go, oh, I just played that Metro Prime Remastered. You know what I could really do? I could play 2 and 3. That'd be great. No, you can't. But newer game, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, has a 2-hour demo on the Switch now. So that, I think, has been added last week. So that's pretty cool, because trying to drum up a little bit of interest in that. I hear it's a great game. The first one was pretty good. I hear this one's good as well. 2 hours is probably enough time to get your teeth into it to figure that one out. And yesterday, Paradox had a showcase. I don't know if you call this, Eddie, but they had a showcase. I thought you might be interested in a few of these. They announced a lot of stuff. I know, Punk, I know you watched it. So Life by You, that was one of the announcements. It's a new Sims-like game from the former head of The Sims, and that's going to be fully unveiled on the 20th of March. So they just showed a snippet, but yeah, it's going to be fully unveiled. City Skylines 2. I think you were a fan of the original, Eddie, were you?
Yeah, it was okay, yeah, if you're into that kind of game.
Yeah, it's coming later this year to PC and consoles, and it'll be coming to Game Pass. So Game Pass day one. So that's pretty
The trailer
cool.
looked very,
flashy. That's it.
Yeah, it did.
Downfall to it being it didn't show us anything of the game. But
no, and it's left people wondering, like, what will it be?
I don't want to be a little negative Nelly, but with those kind of games, as I'm going to talk about in the what we've been playing, is
fucking spoilers.
Spoilers. There's never going to be any like groundbreaking mechanics introduced, so it's going to be like looking nicer. And Skylines 2, even if you go to it now, it still looks nice. So
yeah, Skylines
yeah,
1,
this
yeah.
one,
yeah,
it
yeah,
seems it's going to go very futuristic. Seems to be the
oh, okay,
the tickle. And
that's
trailer,
why the Anno series I thought was quite clever. Is because mm-hmm. they keep on jumping between old and futuristic, and I like that because mm-hmm. it gets. You know, like every 3-4 years they'll release another one that's of the same time period. But
that does keep it fresh, doesn't
exactly,
it? It doesn't mean
yes,
that they're treading
I mean.
Old ground. They, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they take it one step too far and go like Anno 1506 and then they go like 1705. Ooh, because that era is so fucking different. But yeah, I like what they do. And I don't think City Skylines will be... Well, I think everyone will get it because City Skylines 1 was like huge, wasn't it?
Good get for Game Pass, though, isn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah. And it was the yeah. SimCity a lot of us were waiting for the longest time.
Yeah.
I fucking loved SimCity 2000.
We all did, didn't we? We fucking all did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely loved it. Really. Those yellow, blue, and green zones. Yeah, come on.
Nice.
There was another announcement that I wish Pete was here for, but Crusader Kings 3 is getting a tours and tournaments expansion. Mm. I don't really know how that applies to the actual game, but... but yes, getting a full-blown expansion along with an update at the same time. So,
well, they didn't mention much about it, but they said they were introducing new fashion, which will be an element to it.
Oh, good.
Really don't know your user base?
I don't, yeah, that's great. Well, hopefully Pete will look into that and he'll be excited and let us know when it actually comes out, what's involved.
Pete, excited don't work. Ben, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Pete will be tolerant.
And also,
yeah,
Pete
news.
Looking at a new game, that also does not
Look,
work.
Pete's yeah, exactly. a professional podcaster. He doesn't get giddy on recording. I'm sure he practically pissed himself in his private time.
Oh, wow. You do not know Pete, do you?
You do not know Pete.
Me and Pete are fucking way back, all right, Eddie? Don't you start this game with me.
I've known him since I was 5.
You haven't really known him.
Christopher's known him since he was 3.
An acquaintance.
Shit. And he gets giddy.
Not like you got to know him on that one podcast that you did with him. Yeah.
The one that Eddie didn't turn up for, yes.
Yeah, the one that Eddie didn't turn up for, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not as close as you and Pete, so I thought it'd be awkward me going.
Certainly not the way I behave. You'll never be that close.
The last bit of news, I don't really know much about it because it was supposed to be a main news story, but nobody picked it up. So Square Enix are getting a new CEO. So
okay.
There you go.
So you put on the top. Yeah, he's actually no one in. Well, I say no one important, that's a bit harsh. He's just a
loser
executive, part of the team. I've looked up pictures. I don't know how old he is, but he does look young. I'll give him that.
Oh. Excellent.
There you go.
That's the bit of detail we needed.
Yeah, describe him, Eddie. Let's play guess
young,
who
young,
with CEOs.
Prepubescent.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Just fine. Wanted to note that quick news section was about 17, 18 minutes.
It was long. Yes, yeah. Kirk. Yeah. We at what point do we have to put our foot down?
I tell you what, at what point, Eddie, when you can be prepared to populate this document more than 5 minutes before the show. Right, we're moving on to the main news. Do you want to kick us off, Punk?
Oh, yes, indeed. There was a lot of buzz about what I'm going to talk about. A Pokemon Presents. People were giddy. Take yourself back to the days of the Nintendo 64 with the perfect controller it had, Kirk.
Yes.
There was talk that Pokemon Colosseum was going to be added to the Nintendo Switch Online. This game that is compatible with red, blue, and green, or yellow, whichever color it was. And you would be able to battle all your friends online, play the game through that using the transfer pack technology that seemed so alien at the time. But no, what we got was nothing that exciting at all. That was complete fantasy land. What we got was mm-hmm. Pokemon Sleep.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah. We've all seen the sleeping apps people use to improve their sleep, and then they, in a roundabout way, actually cause stress because you're not getting good enough sleep. You then get anxiety about not getting quality enough sleep, and then your sleep actually gets worse. So they're taking this technology and they're advertising it to children.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
I've seen this. It looks
so not only that, they also advise children to sleep with mobile phones. Those things that overheat when they're on the charger, especially if they get trapped under pillows. So Nintendo wants to burn kids.
I mean, I'm sure they... Okay,
this might be in correlation of Saudi Arabia actually taking over large share majorities, you know?
Yes, it's all coming hand in hand. But if you don't want your child to burn to death, you can buy the Pokemon Go Plus Plus.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I had a fucking hernia when I heard this name. No super, no ultra, no plus, plus plus.
Who came up with that in marketing? I'm baffled.
I don't know.
I do think Nintendo's name sometimes, and Pokemon now is an extension of that. They're just fucking awful sometimes.
It's given up, haven't they?
It's fucking awful.
Because they see the money come in and go, well, we can't do any wrong. So
people are still fucking buying it. They must love it.
It's true.
Plus, plus, plus.
So that was the main thing. The plus plus thing really, that annoyed me.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be sneaky and watch this over my lunch break. That was a waste of time. Other things they did, they are now reprinting the original edition of Pokemon cards. So those shiny Charizards that you go for a few million are now getting reprinted, which seen prices drop across eBay very sharply, which was brilliant.
What's the point in doing that, though?
Well, they're going to sell... I think there's complete editions and booster packs. You aren't able to use them in tournaments, I think I saw online, but the nostalgia factor. Like, I would buy one of these for my brother. He was massive in the cards.
That's fair enough. As long as they don't, like, put a stupid huge markup on them. So you still need to have the original cards.
It's
going to
be a big fucking stupid markup.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're going to be identical to the original prints, so it's not like you're going to have your original editions and the reprints. This is...
No, they will just be the same cards. Yeah. They'll be the same cards.
So how...
Okay.
Okay. Okay, cool.
So they've just seen a secondhand market and they've ripped the arse out of it.
Oh, they've really devalued that shit, haven't they?
Yeah.
Some people being like, oh my God.
People literally make a living out of Pokemon cards, don't they?
So
you'd be fucking furious.
After stealing our ROMs, they're now going after the card sellers. Go, Nintendo!
Right, did they talk about anything else?
They had a stop-motion Netflix show. They didn't have too much to show on it, but what little they did, it actually looked quite charming, if you're into that sort of thing. I'm not. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Unite, Pokemon Masters, Pokemon Cafe, and Go, all the mobile shite are getting updates. Couldn't give a flying fuck, which also reminds me, Scarlet and Violet DLC.
Lovely. Yeah. So no lovely... nostalgia for Pokemon Red, Blue,
They
yellow.
Didn't turn around and say Fire Red and Leaf Green are being brought to the Nintendo Switch Online service because, you know, that would have just made too many people happy.
Oh, no, that would have been too good.
Nintendo, too good. Don't do that anymore.
You can't have nice things. You can't have obviously nice things, the things that everybody says should happen.
With the 3DS store closing soon, I think the 27th of March is the last day for it, there are versions of Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, and Silver, I think maybe Crystal, but they have full online functions, so you can battle and trade with friends over the internet. You don't need the link cable anymore. So you'd think, oh, all the work's done, we'll just shift it over to the Switch. But No.
I honestly can't believe that they haven't done that.
We'd rather burn children in their beds, thank you.
No, I can't. It's wrong. I can't believe they haven't done that, but why? That's so fucking
the
stupid.
Virtual console thing. They'd rather rent you out these things when you're really, really hungry for you. Or really hungry for it.
This event seemed like it could be any other Pokemon event that's ever happened in the last 3 years. Apart from the Scarlet and Violet DLC, insert any other Pokemon game that came out that year.
Sleep,
this is just the same.
Was announced quite a number of years ago.
Announced ages ago.
Yeah.
You got Unite. They always talk about the what's going on in the card championships and the actual battling championships.
I forgot to mention the World Championship. Bollocks.
Yeah, they always fucking talk about it. That and Cafe Remix has been a thing for a couple of years. It's just they do waste people's time, don't they?
They certainly do.
So. I don't know who would be going, oh, that was amazing, but never mind. Anyway, Kirk, lead us on.
I was going to say, kind of like us with quick news, wasting people's time, but yeah, sure. Okay, so.
You need to watch yours. Any quick
wasting time complaining about wasting time. I Kirk, know. You are a wonder.
The irony. Microsoft are going to be getting their grubby little mitts on internal Sony documents.
Why are you saying, hang on, you're on their team. Why are you saying
I don't pick sides.
Yes, you do have pick sides. Always picked You've the side picked of Microsoft.
Side. You've got a side.
You are famous for it.
You're on the side.
Clearly, I'm not famous, but okay. So a judge in the US has granted access to Sony's communications with regulators about the Activision Blizzard deal, which is required, as well as requiring to provide details on the exclusive agreements that Sony has with game publishers since 2019, which means Microsoft is hoping that this information will help them gain leverage with the US regulator ahead of its own judgment. What it... I don't know why I'm saying what this means again. I've fucked up what I actually wrote here. You can tell I just write how I say things.
Plus.
means. What this means is Microsoft will be able to see how Sony have approached regulators and argued against Microsoft acquiring ABK. So that's Activision Blizzard King, just in case you didn't know. Whilst also giving a much clearer insight into how Sony themselves secure exclusive arrangements. And as a side note to this, in other news, Europe's regulator has extended the deadline to the 25th of April for their decision, which comes...
Oh, good. This hasn't gone on long enough.
Yeah, well, I know. Just got to drag it out a little bit. So, I mean, what I'm... Because I'm a nosy little fucker, I'm quite excited to see, like, the official documents or info that comes from the Sony side of things, because for the longest time, they've been... Like, obviously, they don't want Activision to be bought by Microsoft because of Call of Duty, yada, yada, yada. But it would be interesting to see what they actually do their side and it be in the public domain, because I think that's quite a big deal, really, don't you?
Well, everyone's going to say how shocking it is, but it's like, well, but they of course they pay people. Of course they pay people to not but be on Game Pass.
It's how much.
Of course they pay people.
It's how much. Yeah. Because it's going to be the what was it, the boy that cried wolf? Or the girl that cried wolf? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's also going to be like, well, if we add up all of our exclusive deals that we've had...
Did you just make that thousand-year fable into a gender-neutral fable? Because I mad respect to you there, Kirk. The woke people are clapping right now.
Yeah.
The person, the cold mama.
we're very inclusive here. We're very inclusive. Family show.
Very good.
Some of us didn't play a Hogwarts.
No, not yet. But no, seriously, this is going to be one of those things which, like, is interesting to see, because Sony never give information out, ever. So,
well, yeah, they're not going to give their intimate financials out, no. But I'd be interested to know how much is redacted for the public.
That's correct, Pam. That is correct.
I'd be interested to know how much is redacted for the public, but also this could, in my mind, it could backfire on Microsoft, because Sony could just make the argument, well, we've done this for X number of years, we've paid this much for this to happen, and it's a fraction of what you're paying for this to happen. You know, this can be spun in many different ways.
It could be.
I don't think it's going to be the slam dunk that everyone's saying.
No, but the only thing is Sony have been very much against giving any information to defend their
Microsoft
case.
Own it's Bethesda now. I mean, could they just not turn around and go, here, that deal with Deathloop and Ghostwire, what was the crack with that?
Yeah.
Maybe that'll come out.
Well, Microsoft just want to bring it out into the open, don't they? Just want to bring it out. They think it's going to work in their favor, and they probably will. But you're right. Punk said it best at the start. Like this deal, like this thing hasn't gone on long enough.
It's not that much longer now, okay? I anticipate two more months.
Change in this time now? Come on. Everyone's already made the decision, surely.
Just let us have Call of Duty on Game Pass, please, for fuck's sake. That's all we want.
That's all PlayStation don't want.
Exactly.
I just want Diablo on Game Pass, but yeah, never mind.
You're gonna get it. It's not gonna be long.
Okay, cool. Right. Eddie, next news story.
Austrian laws deem FIFA Ultimate Team packs violate gambling laws.
Nice.
You love a FIFA story.
I love a FIFA and gambling. I mean, it's a story close to our heart. Mine and Ben's very close friend has spent thousands of pounds on it.
That would
financially cripple me, that, but the people that sued, they sued because they were uncertain about the monetary value of the packs, probably because you have to pay for them through coins and shit. So and that does actually apparently violate Austrian gaming act regulations, so they had a leg to stand on. It was only against Sony, as they purchased the loot boxes through the PlayStation store, meaning FIFA developer EA is not being sued at all, and is actually completely out of it. Fucking weird. They won the case, and now the court says Sony has to repay them only 338 euros and 26 cents, but it does order EA to label FUT packs as gambling games that require a license. EA and Sony haven't commented yet, but Sony can still challenge the verdict on appeal, which they're apparently expected to do. So yeah, it's one of these. Once again, it's another European law that's kind of stepping in. It looks like it's going this way. I think we had this about 6 months ago in a Scandinavian country or somewhere.
We did.
And of course, the UK are kind of implementing things as they go along.
The UK are like talking about it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're giving guidelines,
aren't they? Good old British way. Can you please do this?
but it is a thing about spending money for coins and then buying something on a percentage basis. Yeah. Because that is then a gambling act of trying to get something good, and it being obscured by getting different coins and trading for different things beforehand. I find it very hard to argue that it's not gambling. It's just that it's through the looking glass, so to say. Now, if FIFA had to label everything 18 and make it go through actual channels so that they could do the gambling side, that you get countries that just pull out, and this would be a bit of a nightmare for them. This is a landmark case, even if it's for a small amount of money, don't you think?
Yeah, it sets a precedent. Obviously, it's only in Austria, which is a tiny little country, which obviously abides to its own laws. But I guess it's kind of leading the way. It's difficult what you think of it. I personally think it is totally gambling, because it's gambling in the sense of the term, you know, you're mm-hmm. spending money to get a higher reward, but also the whole way it's done, like the explosions, the walking through the tunnel, the way it's done. I mean, I will say this, FIFA are a master at doing it. Like, when I open a pack, holy shit, the excitement I get from it is unbelievable.
It's kind of like a rock star, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And when you get that amazing player, holy shit, you can't stop smiling all day. And it is amazingly well done. And I can see, luckily I've never broken that seal of doing it, but I think, yeah, I'm not surprised to see that some people get themselves in real trouble here. There was a report to do with this case, and it was most claims are around 800 euros that people have spent. In extreme cases, there was one of 85,000 euros been spent.
Was that your friend?
Yeah, he just moved to Austria quickly.
Very soft introduction to like that dopamine release.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep.
But you get it through betting, or it's the same thing. It's the same dopamine.
It's a gateway to other forms of gambling.
Yeah, well, not only is it's a gateway for kids, but it's also an outlet for adults, because you tell yourself it's not gambling. Well, you tell yourself you're playing a video game.
Plumbed into your house as well. It's like betting apps on your phone. It's far too easy to access.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of the plaintiffs that was involved in this case was a minor as well. So I don't know, in Austria, I assume that's under 16. But yeah.
Mm. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see how that progresses.
They didn't try to burn them in their bed.
They're not Saudi-backed Nintendo, are they?
Fuck you, Nintendo.
Okay, yeah.
Them and their grubby mitts.
Child killers.
Okay. That's Microsoft, but it's cool, yeah.
Right, okay. Right, next story. Yuji Naka actually admitted to his insider trading last week. So we covered it a few times on here. Yuji Naka, the creator of Sonic, admitted to insider trading, and it's in a case which is about owning 865,000 pounds worth of shares. In December last year, he was accused of violating the financial laws. He purchased a large number of shares in Japanese mobile developer A-Team whilst he was employed at Square Enix.
Well, it was a Dragon Quest themed game, so he would have had direct knowledge through Square.
Yes. So that was actually a smaller... This one was for a Final Fantasy VII game. So this one was for... So there's two cases, and you're right, because this one was for the larger amount. This was, Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier, which wasn't public. And he said in court, there's no doubt that I knew the facts about the game before it was made public, and I bought the stock. But you're right, there was a second one where he bought shares in a company called Aiming, for a small amount, £16,800 equivalent, and that was making a Dragon Quest mobile game. So, yeah, he's in hot water. He's in the hot bathhouse on this one.
It's all been downhill since Balan.
Probably taking the Balan thing to start with was probably the indication of things going back downhill.
It's the worst
downhill
of his crimes.
But yeah, I mean, after Balan came out, he then said about Square kind of booting him off the project before he could finish it, and that's one of the reasons why it came out in such a poor state and it was a crap game and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, that wasn't good for him, and we just hear it's just more and more, isn't it? It's quite sad, but it definitely looks like bad things are gonna happen to Yuji Naka.
Don't say it like that. Bad things are gonna happen to him. That's sad.
Well, he's gonna go to prison. He's gonna go to prison.
Yeah, so. I know, but come on.
Anyway, Andrew Tate of video games.
Lovely. Let's bring up the vibe here with some new releases, Eddie.
Okay. it's not a bad week, I guess. I don't know what you were kind of insinuating there. But let's start with the first one of Clash Artifacts of Chaos. PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, March 9th. Hunted by mercenaries of an enemy with untold power, the fighter Pseudo and the creature under his protection begin a perilous quest to the edges of strange lands. Are we calling him Pseudo?
Pseudo? Pseudo.
Pseudo.
Pseudo. Yeah, Pseudo.
That's much better, yeah. It's a third-person action-adventure RPG. It looks fucking weird. Like, really weird. the best way to describe this... we've talked about a game called Kenshi. This is what I imagine what Kenshi would look like if it was like an action game.
You're so right. That's such a good take on it.
I'm so right.
That is it. We saw this at an event. I'm sure we saw this like at a PlayStation State of Play or something ages ago.
Something like that.
Do you remember Kirk or Punk?
I've got no idea, unfortunately. I can't remember.
Definitely the name is kind of pulling up a memory, but where it was, not exactly.
It looks very weird, doesn't it? It looks very weird.
It looks so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're on, but...
It actually looks, for what it's going for, it looks quite good, though. But I don't have much more to say on it, because unfortunately, the first trailer that I saw of it didn't have like any combat in or anything, and it was just wasn't very good at telling us what the game was about.
Yeah. You're not wrong. So let's move on. Bye. We got another weird one. Do Not Feed the Monkeys 2099, coming out on PC March 9th. Spy on strangers through security cameras, invade their privacy, and discover, sounds like Kirk's Saturday Night, doesn't it? And discover their secrets in their digital voyeur simulator. Welcome to the future of the Primate Observation Club. Even in 2099, the rule about messing with your unlucky subjects still remains in the sequel, Do Not Feed the Monkeys. This is another weird one. It's a life sim kind of choices game. I watched about 30 minutes of gameplay in total. And just watched people watching people, which is weird in itself. And you just kind of click on words and there are choices and stuff. And you can then put those words into search engines to try and get... Yeah, I don't really understand this game, but it's a sequel, so Ben would say it's worth playing.
It's gotta be good, but it doesn't look like a game to me.
Doesn't look like a game. Also, the premise of it, I mean, I know we have games where you can hack and slash things and people and stuff like that, but
love hack and slash.
This is a bit much, isn't it? Invading people's personal privacy, hacking into things, you know?
Thought you'd be all about that, Kurt.
No, yeah, absolutely not. That's not my bats. Thing. Also, what was the previous one? Was it just Do Not Feed the Monkeys, or was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
So it wasn't 2077.
No, like exactly. That. Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah. 2077. It's not fucking Cyberpunk.
That was the joke, Eddie. Well done. So
thanks for explaining that. I almost didn't get it.
To be fair, I didn't think Kurt was that clever to actually kind of come up with that joke. That's why I thought you genuinely.
Well, the proof's in the pudding. He just did. Next game, please.
Yes.
Do you not like this bug?
No.
Oh.
He's doing it to you right now. He's looking through your camera.
Nice and precise. Next one, Master Plan Tycoon, coming out on PC March 9th. March 9th's a good date. Welcome to the resource management game where your creativity and logistics skills are put to the test. In this minimalistic simulation, you will build interconnected chains, fuck you with these words, of products and open new missions by completing various tasks to create the biggest system you can. This is fucking weird. Another weird game. It's a resource management game where you connect lines to complete missions. So what I mean is, like, you'll have like a logging farm, and that will produce logs. You draw the line to like a furniture shop, for example, and then that furniture shop will produce like chairs and tables. And then
it's like
you...
a process map, isn't it?
Yeah, like a process map. Yeah,
it just looks like more fucking work.
It looks like fuck. It looks so lame.
Oh, lame.
Lame. It's lame. So
as in
lame.
We're in America, we're saying lame.
It's lame, man.
It's such lame. A loser.
It's lame, bro.
You're a loser. Loser. Lame
this
loser.
Game is a douchebag.
Very sure. Good. Any other American terms?
No, they're not very creative. They don't have many of them.
I like Ben saying earlier, Pete Tong, and I thought only English people will know what Pete Tong is.
Alienated, material percentage of the audience.
I love it.
That's fine.
What does he mean by it went Pete Tong? That makes no fucking sense.
Any you knew about Pete Tong?
Yeah. Anyway, I like the look of this game. I think it looks great. There's a demo on Steam, so
good. They'll need to demo this. You need to demo to sell any. They'll need to have a demo
to sell any, and they'll count that. Just like fucking Pez, whatever
they'll count that.
Now.
A million downloads.
600 million downloads of Master Plan Tycoon. Get ready.
It's called Minimalist Strategy as well as a subtitle.
Yeah, it's minimalist, yeah. When you've got that word in, you've got the word basic should be put in instead. Right, let's move on to Oni. I'm going to say Oni. Oni, Road to the Mightiest Oni.
Great title.
That's not a great title,
that's,
is it?
No, I agree.
Coming out PC, PlayStation, and Switch, March 9th. Break your enemies' souls to reclaim your pride on Kisajima Demon Warrior Kuta and his partner Kazimaru. Challenge these souls to a trial. I think I nailed all of them. All in order to defeat Momotaro, who is both human and evil monster with a stupid name. A tale of sky and wind as they embark upon an island quest.
So the word that tripped you up is island.
Island, yeah, absolutely.
I do love a tale of sky and wind.
Yes. We saw this somewhere, didn't we? I don't know
this
where.
Yeah, we did. We did see it somewhere. Yeah.
Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, wow. It was.
There you go. So yeah, it's a 3D action fantasy game. The visuals are really quite beautiful. I am loving it. The action looks okay. Getting a lot of anime vibes from the creatures. My ex-partner, she used to love the old anime, like animal and creatures episodes, and I've watched shit ton of it, and I'm getting a lot of that vibe. So
is this based on an anime? Do we know? It could be.
I'm pretty sure the big fat thing is definitely one of the most popular animated people, but
right. The big fat thing is one of the most popular anime things.
Thing. Yeah, don't forget that. Right. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to actually? I don't enjoy anime. I'm going to say it. There you go.
I want you to research it.
I've alienated more people. You want me to research what?
Are you an American that enjoys anime? Eddie doesn't like you.
Well, I thought more, you know, Fortnite people, but that's fine. Yeah, Americans.
Fortnite
as well.
People again. I mean, what is it with you?
Leave them alone, man.
Leave them alone.
Leave them alone. Oh,
don't get me started on vroomy vroomy people, Kirk. Fuck
hey, don't. All right, the two listeners that we have that are racing fans, all right, they all switch off.
The only two listeners that we
have that are racing fans. That are racing.
Will
fans.
Will they switch off while they're eating their mashed potato? Will they, Kirk?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Right, is anyone interested in this game, or should I just move on?
No, move on.
Ah, right.
Read the fucking room.
Peaky Blinders, The King's Ransom, Quest 2, it's coming out on March 9th. A narrative VR game inspired by the epic gangster drama. It's a narrative VR shooter with a story. Yeah, that's my own notes. Just copy and pasted it. It has all the characters, even though they look like dog shite. Have you seen it? I know it's VR, and I shouldn't take the piss, and it will look better.
It will all look better in VR.
But
in my head, I thought this would be like watching the TV show, but you could stick your finger up somebody's nose as they're giving like a speech, which is the charm of VR.
Is that why you play? Is it?
Can't say.
Sticking fingers up orifices? Yes. Why else would you use a VR helmet?
I really like Peaky Blinders.
Do you? I didn't care for it.
They've not done Cillian Murphy very well in this game.
Whom?
I thought it looked all right in the trailers. To be
looks
honest.
Very gaunt look looking. Looks a bit scary.
But he already looks gaunt looking.
Yeah, I know.
Cillian's an incredibly handsome man.
They fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I've been told I look like him.
Never. That's just don't lie.
That's a straight up lie.
Just because the listener doesn't know what you look like.
I am. I'm a less gaunt version.
You are less gaunt.
You are the opposite of gaunt.
Wow. Fuck. So, what's the opposite of gaunt then? Okay. Obese. Say it. Go on. Yeah. Just say it. Morbidly obese.
If the shoe fits or doesn't in your case.
Brilliant.
I have such fat feet that I can't wear shoes.
Your toes have double chins, son. Ooh, sick burn.
Fucking hell. This game is coming from Kirby.
Is this also on PSVR2? Because it should be. If it's not on PSVR2, they need to reach the most amount of people with these IPs that could. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what annoys me about VR. Maybe it's not, but you don't get all VR games on all VR headsets. And VR is so niche and nobody gives a fuck. So they really need to collude to actually get this thing off the ground. Yeah. So PSVR should be fighting to get this game if they haven't got it already.
So doing a cheeky Google. It's listed for MetaQuest 2 and Pico 4.
It's just such a fucking... I just think VR's never going to work if games like this. It's not like a huge thing, but it's a game that would sell on multiple.
VR support, Steam VR or Oculus PC.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, if you're gullible enough to buy a Sony helmet, you're going to buy this.
Yeah, exactly. You would. You would buy this. I mean, it's such a misstep. VR's never going to work. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very... fractured fan base.
Yeah, it's like you're into VR. Oh, I can't get that thing. Okay, well, there's only like fucking five of us who have a headset. Mm. Why is this game on so that only two of us can play it? Like, this is just ridiculous.
This feels like it would have made a great subject. Next game, please.
Nice. Transport Fever 2 Console Edition.
Here we go.
Coming out on PlayStations and Xboxes March 9th.
Here I come.
It came out in December 2019. It's a business simulation game where you control all the transport in the city. That includes like pathways, actual building the buildings and staff and pretty much everything. It's very positive on Steam. Ben, I know you like
I think it looks class. Yeah, I think it looks class. Yeah, really, really good. I was praying for it to come to Game Pass, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and it's still £33, £33.50 on Steam, which is a bit upsetting.
Just looks great though. So yeah. You're not into it, Eddie? You're not feeling it?
If I'm gonna play this type of game, it'll be on PC. Do you know what as well? Like I had this problem recently with a survival game, The Forest. And then I moved over to Empyrean. There's the problem when I play games like this. I always think there's a better version of it. And for example, I've got City Skylines in my library, so it's going to take a real good fucking review for me to jump on and spend £35 for this. Sorry. Let's move on to Before Your Eyes, coming out on PSVR 2 March 10th. It came out in April 2021 on PSVR. It's a story-rich indie game. It's very highly rated. Have you seen this?
I have, yeah.
This one was renowned because the only thing you use to control it is your eyes, which opened it to accessibility. Because there were a lot of players that could take part that may not have the motor control to use a controller.
Oh, yes. I didn't think about like it like that. That's
yeah, good. So it great to see. I mean, everybody should have the excuse to play a game and escape for a little while. So nice to see it coming to other services.
Yeah.
It looks brilliant as well. Like the trailer, I thought, made it look fantastic. So in this game, the thing of it is that you blink and it'll take you to you're living someone's life, or you get snapshots of somebody's life. You're digging to their past, and as you, every time you blink, it takes you to a new, like to a new memory, as far as I'm aware. So it looks really, really interesting, really good. Like again, a great get for PSVR 2, I think.
But it won loads of awards as well.
Yeah,
shit.
It's one of those ones I have not heard a bad thing about it.
There you go. It's shit. There you go. I'm the first.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you. Next one. DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos coming out on PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, and Switch. March 10th, this one. Suit up as Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman and take on some of the most powerful supervillains in the DC universe with DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. This is another stupid fucking superhero game, because they took over cinema and now they're going to take over gaming. This looks particularly stupid as well. It's kind of like cartoon visuals, so it's not going down any sort of serious rate. It's an action RPG. The main features is that you can play with friends and you can customize your look. Going back to the old fucking Fortnite people. There you go.
Yeah.
It is a kid's game, though.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, for adults, it's, as Ben would say, hot garbage.
Set them all on fire.
Yeah, but it was definitely the kind of thing that you have your kids playing with their mates.
So when I saw this on the list, I was like, oh, right, okay, let's check this out. This DC Justice League game, that's interesting. And then you realise it is a kid's game.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you were excited after playing, what's it called, Ben, and you saw this title.
Yeah.
And saw this and went, oh, hello.
And what could this be? What could it be?
Oh, I can customize.
I haven't heard of it. Maybe it's a card game. Yes, this could be amazing. No.
What a fucking card game!
It's not that.
Well, let's move on to one Pete didn't include, but I saw a video today of it, and I saw this coming out on March 10th in early access, so I thought I'd add it to the doc. It's called Big Ambitions, coming out on PC. It might be coming out on other things. I haven't looked that deep into it. I didn't have the energy for it. But it's very much a PC game. It's coming out on March 10th. Big Ambitions is a revolutionary role-playing business sim. Go from nothing to the biggest entrepreneur in New York by opening small businesses or slowly building huge corporations any way you like. So it's a business management sim. It's from Hovgaard Games, who made Startup Company. Did any of you guys play that game?
No, I didn't.
Oh. No.
Mm. And Kurt, you're definite now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go fuck myself while also telling you that that's a brilliant game and that's kind of a business startup game. That was very UI heavy. But this game looks different. Worth a bite of the video. I think it came out either today or yesterday, or if you're listening to it in 4 days' time, then in 7 days' time. And he really, really praised it, and quite rightly, it looks deep. Which is exactly what you need from these kind of business management games. And when I mean deep, I mean not only can you do the whole shebang, but you can really get involved. Like, if you're really losing money, you can even, like, relieve your staff workers. You could tell your staff workers not to come in work, and then you could go in and do the cleaning in the morning. You could do the... And what's great is you have energy, you have food meters and stuff like this. You couldn't literally do the whole thing. It really is quite a really good looking sim. I've wishlisted it. I'm going to play the shit out of it. But have you guys had a chance to look at this? Because I only put it on earlier.
I've looked at it. The only holdback is that it's in early access, and there are a few things that are holding it back. I think once this game gets full release, it actually looks like it could be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, the early access looks strong in this one.
I think it looks like dog
Star
shit.
Wars reference?
It was, yeah.
Fucking hell.
And,
like the look of this game. Can't you be nice to it?
Eddie, it's you saying that.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you just listen to that sentence?
Mm. I apologize.
But I do think it looks good.
I don't accept.
I do think it looks good.
Mm. Right, fine. Let's move on then to... Last one of the week, The Legend of Heroes. The Legend of Heroes, nice. The Legend of Heroes Trails to Azure. Coming out on PC, PlayStation, and Switch, March 14th. Wow, that's a big gap between the 10th and the 14th. Are we sure Pete just couldn't be fucked?
We're not positive.
Well, we know he couldn't be fucked. He's not here.
Yes.
He's in Romanian jail.
Oh, wow. Go back there. The special support section is back with more members and more cases to solve. How will this ragtag group deal with the oncoming threats to Cross Bell's political stability while maintaining their team's foundation? The Legend of Heroes series has 14 entries. Because I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I've heard of this. And then I typed it in. It's got 14 entries. Including several subsidiaries. So I was like, yeah, okay. Right, fair enough. They're JRPG, RPG kind of games.
I played the first couple of these on the PSP.
Ooh, brilliant. Well, I'm going to come to you. What do you think of this?
I couldn't give a flying fuck.
Oh, fuck's sake.
No, it's an interesting looking game, but if you're interested in the series, you want to play them all. I would hate to think what this entire series, what the player time would be if you wanted to get through it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christ, yeah. Oh,
lovely. You'll forever be entertained.
Long old games.
Just stop playing anything else. Just teenage anime angst all the time.
Lovely. That sounds wonderful.
And that would put me in such a bad mood, and then I'd get cranky, and then I'd swear at people in podcasts for a living.
Okay.
So you play a lot of these.
I'm starting to think he plays a lot of these.
Love an RPG.
I think they're probably more appealing if you aren't into this series or have a particular like nostalgia
or
anything.
Dipped in and out, perfect.
Yeah, but if like nothing's going to bring you to the table, this isn't going to bring you to the table for the first time. I don't think there's plenty of other JRPGs out there that are probably more appealing right now.
Yeah, you're right. Play East instead.
Right. That is the end of the new releases. My pick of the week, despite what you say, Bunk, is Big Ambitions. I have big ambitions for that game.
Well, I'm sure the game has big ambitions as well.
Well, I hear you've got big fucking feet.
I'm trying to lose weight in my feet.
Yeah, Kirk, you didn't need to bring that up.
I'm sorry. Sometimes it just slips out. Okay.
But
get some cling film, wrap them around your toes, sweat those little piggies.
Oh, big piggies.
Right. Make up for this. Taking us off on what you've been playing.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've basically not been able to play much.
That surprises us.
Hey, hang on. Hang on.
Kirk is quality rather than quantity.
Is he?
Yeah, exactly. I've played a little bit more of Last of Us Part 2, but...
Not the same game.
Yeah, the same game, because...
Look, the worst thing you could do is rush through a narrative-heavy game, especially one as mature as this title.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wish other people...
Why are you offended him so much?
Gosh, he's got your
I
back,
love him!
He? Jesus.
All seriousness, haven't been able to play much. I think I played like an extra hour this week. Just been too busy. And,
you don't have to be serious with us. We believed you first time.
Gotta be honest as well. Having a couple of days with the lads, you know, last week. That ate into my gaming time. So
a few drinky poos, didn't we?
A few drinky poos. So yeah, I've not really had much of a chance. I'm still catching up on orders for Frame a Game as well. So next week I am going to be all over Last of Us 2 for you.
Excellent. Yeah. I really do look forward to you completing that game because I'd like to hear what you feel about the whole narrative.
Probably won't be by the end of next week. But you know, I'll get further in. Don't worry.
Okay, so when you said all over it, you didn't really mean that.
It's going to be all over it. It's going to be all over it. Doesn't mean I'm going to complete it. What do you want from me?
I mean,
he wants you to complete the game. I think that's obvious.
Yeah, I know he does. Yeah, so I can just spoil it for myself. I've waited for 4 or 5 fucking years to play it, and
the butler did it.
No, so that you can text Neil and say, "Oh, Neil, just finish your game.
Can we have you on the pod next week?
Pretty good. Can you come on the pod?
Yeah, we talk about it.
We can't risk him coming on the pod without completed the game.
No, that's true. What I will say, I did watch the latest episode of the show last night.
I haven't, so don't spoil it.
Yeah, no spoilers. But what I will say...
If I had watched it, you could spoil it for the listeners, obviously.
Yeah, I don't want to... God, you fucking... You are a mean, mean boy. I will say it was very, very good. And...
And you've been the most negative.
It's definitely the best episode to date. Who's around in it, I assume, or not?
Who are you talking to?
You.
All right.
Can you not see him looking at you?
You know, fuck's sake. Don't worry about it. Anyway, it's a good episode. Very tense. It's probably the best episode true to the material as well.
I've heard that. I actually heard that from my girlfriend.
It's
that she
everybody
said it was...
that has been complaining about Joel being soft. I say,
So
didn't see the latest episode, did we?
good episode. But that's me for this week.
Okay,
so
you've been playing a new game.
Played the TV show. Yeah.
We do that because when we do our little stickers, our thumbnails, we say what we've been playing / watching.
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, Eddie, you can't.
Yeah, I've been Eddie. Playing. Fuck you! I've been playing Pharaoh. All right, there you go. By Triskel Interactive. Ben got us a code for this lovely game, and as you know, me and Pete played the originals. Happy thank you for the developers. It came out only a couple of weeks ago. It's a remake of the 1999 game of the same name. I've been playing that. I, as I said, I love the original. I really liked Caesar 3, which actually came out like 4 years before this, before Pharaoh. But still played this one. I guess I can kind of sum up my experience probably in only a couple of minutes. It's the exact same game. And I think I said this at the time that I saw it when it was coming out, is mechanically is why you play this game, like the enjoyment of the trading and gathering up resources. So I don't think they'll change anything. And I definitely said it at the time that I think the visuals look the same. I looked into it a bit, and this is what they've described. They've described as a Ultra HD remake. Have you seen clips of this game?
I've seen it, Eddie.
Would you describe it as ultra HD, ultra high definition?
Ultra HD +++.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good, in my opinion. It looks pretty similar to old, but then I suppose you play the original game, you'd be like, oh my god, this is literally unplayable. So they probably have done a lot to it, but
Okay.
It's like when I started playing Diablo 2 on the Switch, and I was like, ooh, they haven't done much to this. Not as much as I thought they had done.
Yeah, so. Okay. Well, they've also got overhauled menus. The menus look the same. A refreshed UI looks the same. And various adjustments. I don't know what that last bit means. Just I think they just throw that in. It's also got a fully reorchestrated soundtrack. Take in stirring recreations of the original soundtrack's melodies, rearranged and performed with traditional oriental instruments. So I guess what they're trying to say is that they've redone the original soundtrack, the exact same music, but with newer instruments. Is that what you're reading there?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 okay.
Traditional.
Yeah. It's also apparently got new and redesigned mechanics. I have not found one of these new mechanics, but that's fine, I guess.
I bet they're so glad they sent you a code.
I'll give them a link to the episode.
Please do, man. It still feels quite clunky. I don't know. I can't remember in the old one if you could keybind, but you can in this one. So even though it's still...
Oh, that sounds like a various adjustment.
Sounds like a new mechanic.
There you go. There you go. A redesigned mechanic, one might say. So, yeah, that's quite cool. And it makes it feel a little less clunky, but still pretty clunky. Out of all the things I've said, I'm having a lot of fun. I loved the old game, and therefore I'm playing this. The only thing that I really fucking wish... I think if they... actually redid the look of the game, actually made it Ultra HD, well, how do I put this nicely, made it look like a 2010 or later game. Like, because if you play it right now, it looks like a 1999 game. It really does. I know that sounds harsh.
Well, it says Ultra HD, it doesn't say Ultra 4K.
I believe, actually... there is definitely a 4K. I believe they even call it a 4K remake. I'm pretty sure they do somewhere. I'm
do
scrolling
apologize.
Down.
I'm only going by your notes.
Oh, here we are. A cult classic remade. Rediscover 4,000 years of history in 4K HD in this remake of the cult classic City Builder Pharaoh. There you go.
It doesn't seem like a remake, it seems like a remaster. No, it's not stirring up that age-old argument there, but this is just a...
Yeah, well, it's a real, real shame, because if this had good visuals, then I think I would really, really, really enjoy playing this, and I think I would chuck lots of hours, because that would be enough for me to like convince my brain that I'm playing a new game and that I'm enjoying the mechanics again. But unfortunately, it's not. And in fact, I've even, because I liked Season 3 more back in the day, I've actually looked it up. It's only £5 on Steam. So obviously wait for that to be on a 75% sale, and I think I might get that.
Yeah. And they'd be disappointed at that again. Nice. And the circle continues.
And the circle continues. But I'm more looking forward to what you two have been playing, because I have downloaded both these games and play them over the next 2 weeks. So
okay. Okay, spoilers. Well, I'll start with Wolong, because
thank you. I don't often do them, Kirk, but no, when I do them,
that's why I had to give you a compliment on it. That's why.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll start with Wolong. I know Punk has played a lot more of it than I have, so interject and tell me what's what.
No problem.
So Wolong is a fast-paced action Souls-like in the Three Kingdoms era. That's why it appeals to you, Eddie. I know you want to play it. It's made by Team Ninja, and they're the makers of Neo, the Neo games, which were excellent Souls-likes in their own right. When you start playing it, I did get that kind of budget feel that was very Neo-esque, but that might be unfair as you progress through the game. And you might get used to that. It might be a bit different, but I didn't like the feel when I turned it on, basically. And I've played essentially, I believe, the demo, the amount of the game, which is the demo, which is the first area. So I haven't played much. I only played it yesterday, but thought we'd talk about it today. More than other Souls games that I've played, because I haven't actually played Sekiro. And this is very timing based.
Yeah,
we've
been modeled on the parry system from that game. It's just, yeah. I call it sloppy Sekiro.
Yeah, fair enough. It's I found like that I had to go through the first area and get to the first boss to actually learn how the combat really worked. And I know that's what it's doing. It is kind of almost skill checking you. And a lot of these games do that. You get to a boss in it and it skill checks you and it says, okay, well, do you actually know enough to carry on and play this game? And then we might make it easier after that. We might do whatever, but we want to make sure that you are well prepared to do this game. And it definitely felt like that as I tried to do that boss a number of times. The game itself, though, differentiates itself from a lot of others of these types of games. It's got no stamina bar. It is all about the parrying mechanic for like the boss fights, etc. Mm-hmm. And there's, you might be able to explain this a bit better. There's like a morale level in each area that you kind of go to these flags and raise these flags or what have you, and then that will raise your level in that area.
Yeah, I think they call it level. Fortitude in the game. And okay. There are markers on every area you go to. So they're like bonfires in Dark Souls.
Yes, they're like bonfires. You activate them and that brings up your level in the area, your minimum level in the area. And that minimum level goes side by side by your overall level and allows you to be able to attack and fight enemies which are of that level or higher with a bit more ease. They won't do as much damage to you, I assume, and things like that. So, and if you die, then your level comes down, but it only goes down to that base level that you're raising by progressing through the area. So I suppose it gives you that sense of progressing through each area.
Mm-hmm. And you do reclaim that if you get revenge on the enemy that killed you previously.
Yes, if you get revenge on that enemy, you can reclaim that lost kind of fortitude or what have you to kind of bring you back up to the level you were and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So very much in the same, and you regain your souls in the equivalent as you would in a Dark Souls game. So, but it's just that extra bit of mechanic, which I think is quite nice because a lot of the times in these Souls-like games, you can feel like you're bashing your head against the wall. And if your goal is to just find these to then raise your level up to make things a bit easier, then I suppose that would be a good way of going through an area. And it is very hard for me so far, and I think Punk will take on in a minute to kind of explain what he thinks, but on how good this game is as a Souls-like. And what I would say is from Souls-likes, you have to go in 2 feet. You can't just like, I don't think you can really dip in on a Souls-like and because you won't be taken by it if you're just dipping in. And I was dipping in. So for me, it feels like I like a certain type of Souls. Like I like Dark Souls and I like Demon Souls and Elden Ring, games like that. I don't really get on with the faster paced ones, and this is very action focused, I would say. So if you are a Sekiro fan or if you're a Neo fan, then yes, this will be absolutely right up your street. But if you're not, then I don't think this will do anything to convince you otherwise. It doesn't feel to me, and this may change because it does take time to get into these games, it doesn't feel like it's as responsive as I'd like it to be or as intuitive on the controls as I would like it to be. Saying that, the parrying does work.
On that, with Dark Souls or Sekiro especially, there was always sound cues to let you know when you've done something correctly or something was incoming. That's not present in this game. It's very haphazard.
Well, I found with the first boss that I wasn't really learning movesets. I was learning my ability to time my parrying. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't really going, because on a normal boss of this nature, you'd learn a moveset, you'd go, okay, I'm moving this way. Basically on that first boss, I learned, okay, you can always pretty much hold your shield up at all times.
Yeah.
Hit when you can break, when they're trying to hit you, you can hit them to break it. But if they're doing a move which is then surrounded by a red kind of ring or something, then you have to parry. But you can also parry at other points. And you do your best. And I did the first phase when you're most relaxed and you're just parrying, you're just timing your parries very easily and very like and then you don't lose much health and all that kind of stuff. And it is teaching you quite well. However, on that first boss, I did realize this is a parrying game. Like, that's...
Well, up to a point, I think you would notice I swapped out a weapon, a polearm, because it had higher attack. And right. higher attack is always better, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back down, I think it's a pommel sword, which is much quicker. You break the enemy's attack pattern if you get an attack in first. So quicker right. attacks help with
so,
that one.
So that can... Because I don't like a game, and I think this is why I've never really gone after mm-hmm. Sekiro, etc. I don't like a game which forces the parry mechanic. Like, in Dark Souls,
mm-hmm.
I only ever did a parry on the yeah. final boss. Like, because that's what you kind of had to... And even when I did it for the first time properly, I was going around a rock trying to, like... I wasn't into the parrying. I can't do it, really. I've never tried to get good at it.
Yeah.
And I like a game that doesn't force you to go down that route, which Dark Souls and Elden Ring, etc., doesn't. It doesn't force you to do it.
No. It's an but option if you wanted to, but...
Absolutely. And you can be an absolute badass with it, and you can just fucking wreck people with it, but... As soon as I was doing this boss, I was almost doing this boss to do the boss to go, oh, all right, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I told myself when I was going through this multiple times with this boss, I am not going to play this game anymore because I feel like I know what this game is now.
Well, the achievement rate for that first boss, and that's including demo numbers as well because it came with achievements, it's only 30%. So this is yeah. a massive falling off point for people.
Well, I can see why, because a lot of the games like this that I have played, that first boss is always doable or within a few tries. Like, the learning is done in the area,
yeah.
but the learning was not done in the first area. The learning is done on the boss on this first area. And for me, I think that was a massive sticking point, because when I did the first phase for the first time, it took like 7 attempts or something.
Yeah.
And I did this first phase, and I was like, and then it started morphing into a second. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then I was like, please give me full health or something. And I came back and I was one shot, basically. I was like, yeah. oh, fuck this noise. Fuck this noise. Off. Done. I'm out. And I think that's what a lot of people would do. Like,
yeah, I can't really blame them either.
I know I would, personally. I don't have the patience. Yeah. But I have heard that the first boss is, you know...
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is quite tough. And then once you get past that, the difficulty takes a nosedive. I've rinsed, I think, 3 bosses since then.
Really?
And
first time tries?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Because once you get past the first boss, I mean, you unlock the ability to invite in a co-op player, so another real person, immediately after that boss, which I think if you let people tackle the first boss together... Maybe you'd have a bit more interest.
Yeah, that'd be a bit more yes. fun, I guess, wouldn't it?
Because have an AI partner anyway, but they fucking die in about 5 minutes anyway, so what's the point in them?
I don't see why they've made that first... I mean, people would say, oh no, but it's a learning thing. Absolutely. I just think that these games find it hard to have people keep going on them.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's a slightly better way to do it, because I am the market. I am the target market, because I fall into these games and I love them. But when I saw that, I went, wow, this is a
slash game. This is not a Dark Souls game. It's a hack and slash game with a few elements stolen from Dark Souls.
I said that the other week and I got ripped for it.
Who ripped you, Eddie?
Ben did.
Ben did not rip you. Ben!
It's a Souls-like, Eddie.
It's not at all. Once you unlock your other partners too, because this is my secret to success so far, you get the ability to upgrade your gear, so everything you have, just upgrade it rather than changing anything, because upgrading seems to do much better than swapping out.
Right.
You get 2 AI characters to come with you.
Oh, cool.
If you level up the wood skill tree, you get a skill that recovers your health for the damage you deal. So that includes you and your 2 characters, so that'll top up your health. If you put points into earth as well, this boosts you and your allies' defense, which helps a lot, and then a little bit in fire to bring your attack up slightly, and slaughtering everything in my path at the moment.
Yeah, to be fair, Eddie, when I was playing it, I was actually thinking of you at this point, because I would actually love you to play it to see what you think, because it isn't Dark Souls. It really isn't. And I like the methodical Dark Souls combat, but this is not quite that.
So there's two things that I wanted to just ask. So obviously you've kind of already asked the first one about so you can upgrade. I guess my two questions coming into this were going to be, outside of the fighting, what else is there? Is there, so you can upgrade weapons? Is that kind of it?
Your armor, your weapons. I came across an animal that will eat weapons that you don't like and then convert them into others. So I'm not sure exactly how that works. Yeah, you can unlock magic, the skills, the ability to recover your health when you damage people so you don't use your flasks. That is technically a spell. So there's a lot you can play about with there.
Ah, oh, like a passive spell. Yeah, when I got unlocked the spells, and then I thought, because you scroll down, like for some reason, you click down and it shows you the spell, but that's actually the best version of the spell, and it had like this lightning going everywhere. I was like, wow, what that? That's fucking badass. Oh no, that's right at the top. That's the last thing I get.
It's like licking the batteries, what you have.
Okay, actually, I just have this little lightning thing that tickles someone. Oh. That's good. And it does, like, no damage.
Like, okay. You're just making them mad.
Fine. That's excellent. That's just let them know I'm here. That's good.
My other question was, obviously, they do kind of advertise this quite a bit. What links are there to the Three Kingdoms? Because that's the thing that got me excited about it. You mentioned your AI people. Do you know if they're from the Three Kingdoms?
They are, yeah. They're all based on characters you'd recognize from... Like, there have been a lot of games based on the Three Kingdoms recently.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm guessing you didn't play the River City Ransom one.
River City Ransom? No.
It's a scrolling beat-em-up. I played it recently, so it's like, oh, yeah, I know all these names.
Oh, right, okay.
And do you can you change the people that are with you?
You can, yeah. I've unlocked three at the moment. So you can bring two with you at any time. And then there is a system where some of the AI characters seem to get on better with others. So I don't know if there's a bonding system or if it ties in with the lore that some are naturally enemies, some are naturally friends.
Cool. Nah,
you
cool.
do raise a bond level if you fight with people more often.
Right.
So there are a lot of mechanics running around this game.
How long do you think the game is, Punk?
I'm not sure. Going by achievements, I think I've got a 13% completion just going off the Xbox app.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think I've beat my second big boss, but there's been about five bosses. Some of them are smaller. They have cutscenes, but they're not quite big guys.
Yeah, have you been playing this alongside other things, or have you just been playing
this? Oh yeah, I've been nipping in and out.
That's quite good then. If it's a game that you can nip in and out, because usually these types of games are ones that you have to commit and just this is what I'm playing.
I would put it in the hack and slash camp more than Souls.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
So I think you can just go in, be aggressive. It'll work out better.
Well, that's what I found with the first boss. When you're just if you just go in there and you're just so aggressive, just like hitting him as soon, and then he can't attack you.
Well, have you seen the posture bar at the bottom? So if you get attacked too much, you can't defend. Yeah, on the other side of that's a spirit bar. So the more you attack, the more that builds up.
And what does that do?
Well, when you attack enough, it fills. If you use a spirit attack, I don't know if it works all the time, but. Like, it gave me iframes, so when attacks came in, I didn't get hurt, but it cuts through their defense, so it's worth attacking, building up spirits, using that. And then you get a divine beast gauge, which doesn't get explained. You build up this gauge at the bottom right hand of your corner. You're fighting. I think at one point after dying, it said something about pressing Y and B, and say, oh, I must try that. So I got to the second phase, tried that, and it pretty much wiped out his second phase. It wasn't satisfying at all, but I'm guessing that's what you're meant to do.
Because I did think, when I was in the first area, I said to myself, this game isn't very good at really telling me. It mentioned like the spirit thing, and I was like, and I was looking at my UI, and I was like, okay, I've just used this magic. What has gone down? There's nothing that's gone down. Like, what are you talking about? When this is low, this how? What are you talking about?
Yeah. All right, we'll just play the game. At you, but explains very little.
Yeah, and then that second, when that second phase came along, I just felt so demoralized. I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
A second phase on your first boss? Who the fuck does that?
I know.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
It is. It was. It felt the wrong spot, especially for it to get so fucking easy after it.
I was so disappointed when he wasn't dead. He just got annoyed, and I was like, he's going to get annoyed and move on, isn't it? No. He's really rolled up now.
You think, this is somebody I'm going to meet later in the game? No.
Yes.
No, you are not.
No. But yeah, I look forward to you trying that one, Eddie. I think it could be something that you'd like.
You could co-op it. You could do a little stream.
Ooh. A stream of us just bashing our heads against the wall.
I just want to see tears.
I wouldn't mind it if we both got past that first boss. And that's what you need to do, right? Get past the first boss, then that opens up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right. As soon as you get past that, co-op's open.
Excellent. Okay. Maybe we will. Let us know what you think of it next week, Eddie, and we'll see what we can do. Cool. But what are you going to talk about, Punk?
Yeah, I noticed we're kind of running on in time, so if I'm waffling, just tell me to move along. I've played and completed Atomic Heart, which...
Nice.
Fantastic.
I almost didn't, given the reviews and kind of the reception it got on several podcasts I listened to.
Mm.
I'd say, ooh, this is a bit of a wet fart on delivery. But it's on Game Pass, so I thought I'd give it a go, and I fucking love it. It is one of my favourite games of the year so far.
Nice.
Wow.
And definitely it's on Game Pass, so if it kind of tickles your interest at all, why not try it?
Mm.
Because I was playing Like a Dragon Ishin, and that kind of felt like busy work, so I fell off it, and I just wanted to play Atomic Heart. It was simple as that.
Mm.
So, Fallout meets Bioshock. Bioshock styling, Fallout world. It sets, in our timeline, up to a point, World War II, there's a divergence in the timeline. World War II ended because Germany realized, oh, shit, we're going to lose this, and released a virus that got referred to as the Brown Plague.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Topical. So the Soviet Union actually cured it, so that pushed them forward in the field of super science. They did not collapse. They kept going. They actually created robots that they shipped around worldwide that did crappy, menial labor for the people. So they could all relax after that horrible war, but that pushed them and made them very rich and left them in like this futuristic setting where everything seems perfect.
Mm, wonderful. I feel like nothing bad will happen from here.
Oh, not at all. So you start off, it is very much the Bioshock Infinite opening. You are in the middle of a festival. Everybody's very happy. It looks fucking gorgeous. They have this strange thing where they don't have ray tracing, but there's reflective surfaces. It does glitch in and out a bit, but it's a really nice trick. So you walk through that. Sorry?
I was just going to say, what's the frame rate like on it? Because with how intense it is on the graphics, I thought maybe a double-A game.
The frame rate for this opening section, it's really well curated. It's closed off. So it's very smooth here. Later on, when you're fighting things, you will get drops once you get to the open world. And like it throws a lot at you at times, and you can notice it chugging a bit then.
Okay.
But for the opening, very smooth. You get a bit of world building. It mentions characters that will come up later. I'd say on a second playthrough, you'd realize what everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
And you get to meet all the robots. You see all the technology. They're displaying things that they're working on.
The sexy robots, yeah.
Well, they're part of the story.
Okay, they are. Okay, all right.
Yeah, because I've seen them, they've blown up on the internet. In certain sections, people are very excited about these robots.
Yeah, I'd never heard of them. Kirk, you've been in these
sections. Yeah, I know. What's going on? Are they sex robots?
Rule 34, not... Kirk. Yes, yes. Yum, yum. Shiny robot ladies.
Come on, Kirk, you pervert.
No, they're just... people have just screenshotted. They're very voluptuous. Like, voluptuous. That's exactly the word I was about to use.
This would be just the type of shit you'd be into.
This is Kirk level.
Curvy robots with thin waists and big buttons. Yeah, love it.
These robots are the bodyguards for one of the leading scientists that created something called the Collective. And the Collective is a mind control device that can send commands to robots so you don't have to talk to them or look at them. Because who likes looking at robots?
Kirk.
Unless they're,
sexy robots.
Sexy robots. But they're releasing a new version of this called Collective 2.0, which improves everything. It's going to make everybody's lives even better. Except it doesn't, and all the robots kind of go haywire on... This game is set... It's a foundation or a compound, but it's like a floating island. It's a research lab.
Okay. Mm.
And all the robots have gone haywire here. It seems that some of the staff weren't happy, put in a little bit of rogue code, and now they're attacking and killing all the humans. And it's tasked you to find out what happened, stop them, capture these scientists, make them undo the damage they did. Because, if all the robots around the world decided to go into combat mode and kill all the humans, it wouldn't look good on the Soviet Union, and they're so squeaky clean at the moment.
Yeah, well, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't think the Tate stuff was bad enough.
God's sake.
So, you're dropped into it. You start off so weak. You don't have any skills. You have an axe, and you're fighting off robots that are very well developed. Not like that, Kirk.
Fuck off, I knew that was coming.
Like you. So.
So what's the gameplay like with it? Like, how's it feel? Like,
very BioShock. Say, when you start off, you're given a shotgun, you're given an axe early doors. They're not great. Things don't feel good. But this is because everything has an upgrade system. There's a crafting system. You need to find blueprints to improve everything. You're collecting a substance called polymer, which is like this magical gel. Because you get superpowers, you can use frost, electricity, you can use the gel itself. It's a conductor. So if you cover everybody in gel, Kirk, you can then shock them and make like a chain lightning effect.
Uh-huh.
All very satisfying once it gets going. If anybody is playing this, I will say there is a skill called mass telekinesis, which picks everybody up and drops them.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
It does so much damage. The thing about the game is if you put skills in something and realize you don't get on great with it, the polymer gel, I nearly fully upgraded. And I say, I am getting slaughtered at a particular boss fight. I am doing something wrong here. Because, I like to think I'm all right at games. Yeah, I got past Wolong's boss. I'm in the above 30%, Ben.
You're in the top 30%, yeah?
Yeah.
Better than Ben. I mean, Ben is famously bad. Like,
but I was getting destroyed.
He dies by falling trees.
I was getting destroyed by this boss. And I said, no, I'm not doing something right. So I went back to the upgrade system, which is a really kinky vending machine that Kirk will probably like.
Oh, Kirk will
And just... got a refund on all my skills with no penalty, so you're not held that way.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah,
that's good.
And it's the same with weapons too, so everything can be recycled fully. It's not like you're getting 70% of your resources back.
Mm.
So I was playing about with different things. The frost, the telekinesis was the last one because I thought it was a bit crap looking, and I couldn't have been more wrong. You pick things up, you wait for your hand to become a fist, and then you drop everything, and if that doesn't kill them, they're lying on the ground long enough you run over with your axe or shotgun and finish the job. And that made things a lot more manageable because there are not open world sections, but more open. There are set pieces in this open area. And if you attack a robot where there are security cameras, they drop robots out of the sky. They just dump everything on top of you. And you have to either escape or hide, or you're just going to die. But once you had the fully upgraded mass telekinesis, it just, I'm surrounded by like 20 robots. And I'll just pick them all up, drop them.
What about the puzzles in this game? I've heard that that's been an off-putting thing.
I enjoyed the puzzles. There is one with shadow mannequins, and you're running through it because none of them are hard. Some of them you look at and go, right, there's something I'm not getting here, as it just clicks. I never had to look at a guide, but I felt challenged at the same time, which is a nice medium you don't often get.
Yeah.
And a lot of people give off about the angry, sweary protagonist. Which
speaks of it, don't they?
But you liked him?
I loved him.
Of course you did.
I wanted to play this in Russian because I would like the Yakuza are like a Dragon Games. I play them in Japanese, English subtitles feels more natural. The Witcher 3 I would have played in Polish and Russian with subtitles.
Such a purist,
on.
Aren't you?
Well, it's a bit more authentic. And English people, ugh.
That's authentic. Looking at characters on the screen, that's authentic.
The subtitles and like the HUD or the HUD in the game is not very clear, the subtitles especially, and I couldn't make them out clear enough to have it in another language. So it is Monkfish's first game, so yeah, I can kind of forgive them a few things like that, but it would be nice to see a patch come out and kind of improve that.
Because this is getting a lot of people love it or hate it. Like there is a lot of love for this game.
Well, what I'm
getting
is
a lot of dislike as well.
I was joking about Hogwarts earlier, but there is, you know, there's external reasons why you wouldn't like this game. It is funded by the Russian government. They're not very popular at the moment, but Russia has ties with all their exports. There's a Tetris movie coming out, which will kind of explain that a bit better to people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to support the game because of its ties, you're fully entitled to, but don't talk about the game as a product. You can happily say, no, I just don't want to hear about this because...
Do you think there's a lot of that? Do you think a lot of people are talking about...
a lot of impression, especially on the podcast I listen to, like the write-off. The vending machine. The vending machine is the most cringy thing you will ever encounter in a game, but because it is the vending machine that you need to use to upgrade your character, you can't avoid it. They know you can't avoid it. You have to talk to this thing, and they make you squirm a lot when you use it. And say, that is not bad writing. That is just they knew you would have to go
here.
They're
doing it on purpose, yeah.
And then the main character, without spoilers, there are reasons he behaves and talks the way he does. Because he shows signs of several conditions, and he is a war survivor. And I say, oh, well, you know, this really goes into it. The robots Kirk's so fond of, they tie into the story. They're the bodyguards, the head scientist, and they're based on people. It's, whoa, wow, there's a lot of writing in here. Maybe the complaints you had in the first 15 minutes go away.
I think you're convincing me to actually play it, because I was put off.
Game. Yeah, as was I, but I'm glad I went into it.
I was put off. I was definitely put off. But yeah, I think it's worth. Yeah, I think it is definitely worth having a go. I think it's one of those again where you have to go. You're looking forward to playing it, not just playing it because it's new. Because I think you get a lot of that with Game Pass games where it's just like, it's new. I'll give it a whirl. But I never get into games that I give a whirl. That's just not what I'm.
Attachment rate probably isn't high if you're only. Well, no, I would be a Fallout fan. I know Eddie hates us, but I got serious Fallout vibes with Bioshock, and it's just, the little niggles I had with it, I'd forgive because they are a rookie developer at the same time.
Well, if you say it's the first game, I mean, I think it's pretty impressive then, by the sounds of it. So, I'll look forward to having a go on this one.
I just
want
to mention, the glove talks to you, Charles. And the back and forth I enjoy quite a bit because Charles at one moment lets you know that he is marking a door on your map and that's where you go, and the protagonist P3 or Comrade Major turns around, I fucking know how doors work, you prick. I said, I love this character.
You just think he's a fucking kindred spirit. Okay, right.
Yes,
I would have voiced this for free.
Sounds like you did.
If you go to the Irish version, then.
Not that option often enough.
Right. Okay, well, good. I think that probably, I mean, on the similar theme, that leads on to our feature, because we just said with Game Pass, you try a lot of things, and I find myself dipping in and out. At the moment, I'm in a bit of a gaming lull, because I'm playing Dead Space, and I tried Wolong, and I'm waiting really for Resident Evil 4. I know Kirk, you're probably waiting for Resident Evil 4 as well.
Boy.
So I thought it was a good time that we look through Game Pass and we come up with some of our almost hidden gems or games that we just think are great and everyone should be playing. So we've gone through and picked out a few, and I'm thinking that there could be a few here that I then end up playing from other people's lists. But yeah, if I think we just go around the room and say a couple. The first one that I've got is one that I don't think many people here have probably played, but it's called Anvil Vault Breakers. I played it ages ago when it first got added to Game Pass, and it's still there, and it's actually an early access game. It's a roguelike twin stick shooter, and it's like The Ascent, but Hades and Starship Troopers kind of mixed into one. But it's early access, but they've done quite a lot with it. I played it right at the start and enjoyed it. There's a lot of variety with different bosses. You don't meet the same bosses very often as you go through different worlds, a lot of upgrades, and every time you die you get stronger. That's the whole premise, is that your breaker gets stronger every time you die. It's you know, classic roguelike stuff, but yeah, interesting, and definitely worth a go on Game Pass. I don't know, anybody else heard of it even?
Yeah, I've seen this, but I did not download.
Yeah, it actually works surprisingly well. Like, it feels good as you play it. And some of the special abilities, of which there are loads, really, really good. It's a feel good game.
All right, I'll take us next. So it's one, I've mentioned it before, but it's still on Game Pass, and just a wonderful game to play, is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I'm not going to say too much on it because I have gone down this road, but basically the stunning visuals, the amazing soundtrack and sound design in general. It's a very addictive gameplay loop if you're into Metroidvanias. The mechanics are genuinely fantastic, and not going to lie, it hurts your thumbs if you play it for a bit too long because of the repeated, I guess, where you have to do certain things to get through certain parts of levels. But it's one of those games that is hugely, hugely satisfying once you've completed a section, even just if it's a little section, because it's that whole rinse and repeat. I guess it's kind of like your Elden Ring kind of gameplay loop, you know what I mean? You need to keep going for it until you smash it, and then when you do, you're like, "Ah, brilliant!"
I never thought you'd compare Ori and the Will of the Wisps to Elden Ring today, Kirk. But
gameplay loop,
you've outdone yourself. You've outdone yourself, buddy.
Game
I appreciate
play
it.
Loop.
Yeah, definitely think that you should play it, unless you're Ben, who hates this, of course.
I don't hate it.
You don't like Metroidvanias. You've said that
Ben
very openly.
Ben loves Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and I've already played it.
I've played it and I liked
Ben
it.
Ben said nice things about Metroid earlier.
I love Metroid Dread.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're on record saying you don't like Metroidvanias.
He is right. I don't choose it as a main game type. Yeah, sure, but I have enjoyed Metroidvanias. But
okay. Anyway, yeah, this is one of the best out there. So
I'm surprised, Ben, that you don't love this game, because it's exactly like Elden Ring.
Yeah, you're right, Eddie. It's exactly like Elden Ring, so I should have spent 70 hours in 1 week.
If you don't know what Ori and the Will of the Wisps are, for our listeners, this is the most charming game like ever. It's beautiful. Like you feel
it made me cry.
There you go. I mean, it makes me weep. Yeah. And Kirk's putting fucking
like
Elden Ring in
it's
your
like
head.
Elden Ring, mate. It's exactly like Elden Ring.
Just like Elden Ring.
You know what I mean, but you're just taking the piss, so move on, come on.
No, you fucking nailed it. Right, I'm going to start with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. It's basically Elden Ring. It's
also a hidden gem, yeah.
Well, you know what? Ben didn't word it as hidden gem. He went
it's written at the fucking top of the page.
Ben, driving home from Cornwall on whatever, you said, pick three games that you'd love to tell people about. And so I picked the best three games that I know on Game Pass.
That's okay, because as long as we've got a mixture. But
well,
yeah,
there
I mean,
you
it's
go.
Written, it's written on the page, and it's underlined in bold. Game Pass,
gonna,
hidden gems.
I wasn't going to read that bit after you'd already told me about it, was I? I was just going to put down my three best.
To be fair, Kirk opened up with Ori, Will of the Wisps, so not exactly too hidden.
Anyway, okay. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon. It's a Tom Clancy game, but it's massively open world. It's got the old, you get satisfied by loot because you don't get any weapons like other Tom Clancy games where you get to load out and stuff. You have to kind of gain your attachments and gain your weapons as you go. As well, the story is fantastic. It's got the old classic loop of you have four sub-bosses that you need to unlock to kill them, and then once you've unlocked them, then you can go and kill the final boss. But there's loads of cutscenes, there's loads of little story side missions that are really cool, that really keep you going. As well, the map is probably one of the best open world maps I've ever been in. Not only can you go to any bit any time, but there's so many different like areas, like there's different biomes, there's different like some bits are stunning, absolutely stunning. So, and of course, it's a Tom Clancy game, which means they got the gunplay down. I highly recommend it, though.
Yeah, I must say, like, this game is one that would get overlooked because it's a bit older and it got terrible reviews when it came out.
Yeah, it did.
But it's actually, it was probably ahead of its time. When you go back to it, like, I don't think the frame rate's particularly good, but that was my experience.
Right, fine. I actually tried to go back to it recently, but these games have this weird thing that you have to like wipe your gamer tag progress on the game. Else, for example, I started a new game having not done this, and I had all the weapons unlocked. And this whole game, I hate to say it, but you know, it's half story, half the excitement of unlocking certain attachments and certain weapons. So, yeah, that was a bit upsetting. But
you love a silencer. Yeah.
I love to put a silencer on a weapon.
Yeah. It's a make or break for a game, but yeah.
Anyway. Oh, I haven't got Medieval Dynasty on here. That would have been a good one. Oh.
That would have been a good one. That would have been a hidden gem. That
would have been a great one, yeah.
Oh, that would have been a hidden gem as well, wouldn't it? Right, hang on. Delete.
Right. Mark, do you want to take us on?
Evil Dynasty.
One I was going to big up because... Not that it's a small game or a hidden gem, because I don't want to hear my own joke repeated back to me. Deep Rock Galactic.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people won't have tried it, though.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. A lot of people are probably aware of the game itself, don't realise it's on Game Pass. You should get it on. That, couple of beers, couple of friends, if you have either. Great time.
Yeah, I've never played it, I don't think, and it's probably for that reason.
Mm. Oh, definitely worth a go.
Yeah.
You could stream it.
I have heard it's great. Like, and, you know, obviously it's got incredible reviews and stuff. And it's won loads of awards. But,
Sometimes that puts you off a game as much as it puts you on.
Especially when it's a multiplayer game. Mm. It kind of puts you off a little bit because you think, oh, this is so deep that I probably can't even begin to start playing it.
No, it's fun. And you and all your dwarf friends get together on the dance floor. It's brilliant. It made me cry.
Every good game makes you
cry. Yeah, well, I was going to shoot through them considering the time, but sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Next game.
Let's go. Oh, it's me again, isn't it? I haven't played this one because I thought this could be a good opportunity to bring it to the table then. Kraken Academy, has anybody else heard of that? It was in like a Nintendo Switch Direct ages ago. But It's been on my list to play for ages. I thought about it at the time, maybe getting it in advance. But yeah, it's an adventure narrative game, bit of dating sim stuff. But it's
Jesus
in school.
Christ,
it's got
shit.
No, that's the charm. It's a top down, charmingly graphical kind of looking game.
Charmingly graphical.
You try to save the school. It's very good. Mm. Mythical creatures and all that shit and stuff. So yeah, it looks really good.
Yes, I can see a big broccoli.
Kraken Academy, yeah, Kraken Academy.
So you haven't played it, Eddie?
I think this looks horrific.
Very good. I think
this
mispronounced
looks
very good there.
On the level of Catherine Full Body, like that level.
That was an excellent game.
Okay, sure it was, mate.
Next game.
Fine.
Yeah, As Dusk Falls. Now, this was...
Hidden Gem.
It is a Hidden Gem. Not enough people played it.
Kirk, I played it and I think it's fucking terrible, but carry on.
And it was so good that you completed it, Kirk?
Yeah.
Does Ben know that he didn't complete it?
I don't know. I can't check.
Have you got him added on the Xbox app?
I literally have an achievement for completing it. So if you want to check me. It's fine. So very much a narrative-driven game, and this is where your decisions actually matter in this one. One of the cool things, not that I have anybody more than my roommate to play with, but 7 people can play this with a cross between controllers and smartphones or tablets. Because it's the voting system, isn't it? When you go through certain, with each kind of story beat, you can all vote for the 3 or 4 different things.
Oh, you know what, Kirk? You know what? I was going to go hell-bent and rip the shit out of you after you finished talking, but I actually, if you remember, I played this and it did not allow me to play co-op, so me and my girlfriend just played on one controller. Do you think then, if we did play two controllers, so you can vote for different things, right?
Yes. That's how it works.
Okay, all right.
My roommate.
I mean, there was only 2 of you, Eddie. It wasn't the most complex of voting systems.
No. What I'm saying is that I didn't have the option, Ben, because the co-op wasn't working. Do you remember I was playing on the Steam, or not on the cloud? Refusing. It was crashing every time I tried to fucking co-op it. So I just played as a single player, but me and Emma had.
Okay.
Yeah. No. You both have your controller, and either one of you picks what you want, and then if both pick something different, it overrides. Picks one at random, but basically it's what the art design of it, very interesting. You must have seen it by now. It's that whole 1 frame per second like graphic kind of thing, which is a bit weird to begin with, but you get used to it. And then the main thing is the fact it's a story driven thing. You get invested into characters, and people that you may grow attached to can and do die. You make them meet the maker, basically.
Spoilers.
Okay. Well, you don't know who's going to die, so maybe everybody lives. You don't know. Next,
you can't do that. I hate the art style, Kirk.
Is this what you were trying to avoid?
yeah, exactly.
Talking about art styles that Eddie's going to hate, well, Cowboy, have I got a game for you? Dragon Quest Builders 2 that takes the world of Dragon Quest and puts it into Minecraft.
Oh, no, hang on, I know this. I think I really like this, don't I?
Again, well enough known franchise, but I just don't think enough people realise it's on Game Pass, and it is
I didn't know that was on Game Pass. I didn't know that was on Game Pass.
Yeah, the first one was taken off, I think, when this one was added, but it's the better game.
That is good. Eddie, this is a game for you.
There you go. I'm just looking it up now.
Lovely. Right, Eddie, it's your go.
Okay, my game is this game called Medieval Dynasty.
Oh, I haven't heard of it.
Haven't heard of it, mate.
Please tell us more. Yeah.
Some may say it's...
It made me cry.
A hidden gem. That's weird. It's a hidden gem of sorts, some might say.
I think it came like 4th in a Game of Year show not far from here.
I think it was way higher than that, but I don't think it was like 2nd or 3rd, mate.
Way higher.
Yeah. Ben, 4th is nothing. It's not even on the podium.
Right, okay, fine.
I was a State of Decay 2 inning it because I absolutely love that game. But yeah, you're right. Medieval Dynasty, people probably haven't heard it. It's a dynasty game in medieval times.
Brilliant.
There you go. Nailed that description. Yeah, but it's not based on combat. It's almost like all your kind of Skyrim games, but if you just ignore if any combat was in it. And I know that sounds boring, but it's not. There's loads of management. There's loads of simulation. And as well, it is a beautiful, beautiful looking game. It's a calming, nice, relaxing game. Highly, highly recommend it.
Excellent. Well, my final game is Persona 4 Golden. Because a lot of people out there would have played Persona 5. And Persona 4 Golden is, in my opinion, the best of the later Personas. It's one that really got me into them. And it was the Vita that I remember playing handheld. If you get the opportunity to play this on handheld, because if you can play it on the cloud or something like that, I think it would be absolutely perfect. I've always thought of the Persona games as like an adult Pokemon with narrative. The themes are quite heavy. There's murder involved and all that kind of stuff. Characters are memorable. I'm shit with remembering characters and names and stuff like that. I remember characters from Persona 4. Like, that really is good. And the Metacritic for it amazing, 87 to 93 currently on the newer versions that have been now recently put on Game Pass and on the other consoles. So yeah, it's a different king of the genre, so definitely check it out.
Cool. All right. I'm going to talk about one that is actually leaving Game Pass next week, if you're listening today. So comes off Game Pass on the 15th of March, and that's Guardians of the Galaxy. So
hidden gem.
Hidden gem and leaving before you have a chance to play it.
I am just done with you tonight, Ben. I'm done with you.
I'm excited about this because I've heard it's quite like Elden Ring.
It made me cry.
To be fair, there was actually a very touching point in this game that was very pull on the heartstrings, but won't go into details on that. So,
spoilers.
Again, narrative driven. Story driven, you know, that kind of thing. It looks fucking amazing. I'm not gonna make no bones about that. It is a very genuinely impressive game to look at. And gameplay wise, mechanics and all that kind of shit, and I say shit in a good way, it's just spot on. One slight downfall is it can get a little bit repetitive near the end of the game, but there is.
They won't get to that in time, Kurt, don't worry about it.
Yeah, sure. You can complete it in a couple of nights if you played it properly. But basically, don't think of it like the Avengers game. You need to. This is its own standalone game.
You're so shit at games, Ben.
You're so terrible. Hit me where it hurts.
And
it's easier than Wolong.
Oh, do you know what? Fuck this. You go next.
Fuck you.
I love it.
Again. A very popular title, just not enough people playing it. Monster Hunter Rise, recently added. Fantastic game.
Yeah, that popular
You
game.
And three of your friends murder everything in sight, and then carve up the bits to make equipment, to make better bits, to murder all the monsters in sight.
I thought you were interested in this, Eddie.
I was actually. I don't know why this is completely gone.
If you ever want to start it, Eddie, give me a shout.
Hmm. What was that now?
That was a weird noise.
It's the sound you make when you see those robots cook.
Don't, you'll make me cry.
You'll make me something.
Oh, Eddie, you don't have to look it up now, mate.
Oh, I'm looking it up. What do you want?
I love the commitment.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, Eddie, your turn. Last one.
Last one is a game that's
Eddie.
Only. Yeah.
Continue.
Thank you. The game that only came to Game Pass, I think, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And that is Bannerlord, a medieval lord simulator game, RPG.
About banners.
I think so, yeah.
And you do get a banner, yeah. So, it's a game where you can do anything. You could be a trader, you could be... I guess the whole kind of game is to build your army to... kind of create your own kingdom and then go and kill everybody. The combat itself is incredible. You can command, I think, up to hundreds of people in battle, and it creates those awe inspiring moments that we all play games for those moments where you go, holy shit, this is incredible.
You cry.
I have never wept at it. I felt very bad when I've lost like everything for making
Eddie
a silly
mistake.
Eddie
has never wept.
I'm not
a weeper.
He's not a weeper.
I don't
he's
sit there and weep.
He's a creeper, not a weeper.
In fact, that's weird. I've never cried at a computer game.
Oh.
There you go.
How you haven't played Endling.
That? Oh, that stupid fox game.
Oh, wow.
Stop. Gosh. That's not necessary now. It's late in the show.
Yeah. I'm just
fucking
not.
2 hours.
Not an emotional
this is
person.
A month's worth of content for me. Fucking hurry up.
I'm sorry, I'm not emotional. We were at the horses race the other day. I saw
Did you
Ben's
cry at the horses?
Eyes tearing up when a horse fell over. But
yes,
I
because
just,
it was emotional and nobody
it
else.
It wasn't emotional. It was not emotional. It
they
was
going to shoot the horse. We don't need to go into that.
They were putting curtains around it. It's fine. yeah, Bannerlord. I think it was our game. It's been in our game of the year twice, so that's how good it is.
Jesus, it never goes away. Right.
Ben. It came out on console this year, so it's definitely going in our Game of the Year discussion this year. You know that, right?
Right, fantastic. Right. Okay, I just want to say, can we wrap this up so we can keep this under 2 hours?
Yeah, okay, we have to be quick on that then. Yeah, right, exactly. Punk, he'll be quick with this. Your socials, sir.
Ucons.co.uk, I'll see you there.
Brilliant.
Fucking love that.
How nice and easy is that, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show, Punk. It's much appreciated. Yeah,
thanks again.
Thank you for the invite. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Excellent. Well, our socials are a bit longer. If you want to email us, it's podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us.
Are you streaming? Are you putting out stickers on Twitter?
We've got a YouTube channel, Grumpy Gamers Podcast.
You put up videos recently?
We have put up videos.
Is it just the podcast?
At the moment, it's just the podcast.
Is it just the podcast? Okay.
If you wanted to listen to the podcast, then you can. But I suppose you listen to it wherever you listen to it.
I've already heard it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, Ben, great socials. I believe my dad also emailed in with a question. Are we going to address that?
Oh, he did. Yeah, no, he did. But I only found it because it came into the other mailbox. So I only found it like weeks after. So we will address.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Better not be addressed to me, Eddie's dad.
But for this week, it's GG.
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 Get fucked.